Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
As we know by now, hopefully, churches around the world are celebrating Advent. This is a season that we celebrate. It's a word that means to appear or to come into a place. So the Advent of Jesus Christ, to appear or to come into a place. Together, churches everywhere this month are remembering Jesus' first Advent while anticipating his final Advent. And we're calling our series Hospitality Incarnated, what Christ's birth reveals about how we treat others. Our liturgy, our readings, our prayers, our songs, our sermons, they're all crafted to remind us of God's goodness towards us. And the reason for this is so that we can be formed by his grace. Anybody want to be formed by the grace of God? Amen. Not a culture of individualism or consumerism or self-reliance, but by the grace of God. We're defining hospitality as the generous treatment of guests. It can involve institutions, which is kind of what we're used to, hospitals and Disney and agencies and so forth. But as we discovered last week, God codified hospitality in his law, and he codified it as a relational pursuit to make his people distinct and to make his people desirable. And sadly, hundreds of laws and endless examples were unable to change how people treat one another. And so God made a peculiar promise that we talked about last week in Isaiah 7, verse 14. The prophet said, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Our sermon today will explain the impact of that announcement and explore the following big idea: remembering God's provision changes everything. I hope that's a phrase that might help you this season. Remembering God's provision changes everything. Now, having established Israel's experiences of vulnerability and dependence in our survey of the Old Testament last week, you remember that? We talked about Israel being vulnerable and dependent. We can now begin to establish Christ's experience of vulnerability and dependence. So we're going to move into the New Testament story. That's a familiar story, isn't it? You have a faithful Jewish couple who is in love, and they were planning a future together until an unplanned pregnancy made them forget God's promises. It caused them to suffer from identity confusion. It caused them to grow fearful and uncertain and self-conscious. What would their strict religious culture have to say about this strange occurrence? Had God forsaken them? Had God forsaken their people? Could they survive this sudden and shameful turn of events? On some level, I think we can relate with Mary and Joseph, can't we? Life hasn't gone quite how we planned it to go. God has felt distant to us, maybe done with us. Family or friends have rejected us when we needed them most in our hour of desperate need or pain. What helped Mary and Joseph, and what will help us to go from hopeless despair to believing that nothing is impossible with God, because that's what Mary said, right? What will help us is what helped them. It was when someone moved towards them. Someone moved towards them and mercifully reminded them of God's presence and provision. Now, their story is recorded in Matthew chapter 1. So if you look there with me, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and not willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. This is going to sound really familiar. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, there's a lot that I love about this story, but one of the things that I love is how they each received a visit. Joseph received a visit from an angel. Mary received a visit from an angel. So Mary didn't have to take Joseph's word for it, right? Gabriel assured her that their situation was no mistake, that it was proof that God had not forsaken them, that God had not forsaken the people of Israel. Now, you can read about her visit in Luke chapter 1. That's in verses 26 to 38. So you can kind of mark that or highlight that, whatever you need to do. But you can read about that. But for the sake of time this morning, I want you to feast your eyes on her remarkable response that's seen in Luke 1, verses 46 to 56. Will you look there with me? Luke 1, 46 to 56. Now, after she contemplated and she conferred with her cousin Elizabeth, there's a little section in there where she goes to see Elizabeth. And who is Elizabeth? She's the mother of John the Baptist. She's at that time pregnant with John the Baptist. And so she gets this angel visit. Then she goes and visits her cousin. She confers with her. She contemplates the things that she was told. And in Luke 1, 46 to 56, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." Now, isn't that interesting? That was her response. We call that Mary's song. Hearing God's promises and discussing them with another believer, who, by the way, that scripture says was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you remember that part of the story. But hearing God's promises, discussing them with another believer, helped her recall other things that she knew about God. So think about that. They're struggling, they're traveling, they're concerned, this situation has occurred. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but sometimes when you need it most, you struggle to remember the promises of God, right? You ever been in that moment? You're just like, I can't even think of one verse right now. And so an angel comes, reminds her of some truths, some ancient promises. And she goes and talks with her cousin. They talk about more. And all of a sudden, her heart opens up, her mind opens up, and she remembers so many of God's promises. Things that she already knew about God, but she needed to be reminded. This is a key takeaway that I hope you'll see this morning. The faith of our spiritual ancestors, people like Mary and Joseph and others that have been mentioned here this morning, was always based on and inspired by ancient truths. I'm going to repeat that because you may not see the significance of it right now, but let me say it again. The faith of our spiritual ancestors was always based on and inspired by ancient truths. Ironically, we live in an age where people scour the Bible for new concepts and fresh words and hidden codes. It's no wonder that so many are experiencing a crisis of faith and deconstructing their faith. I want you to hear this morning. Our faith can't be strong when we fail to appreciate and evaluate the things that God has said. Our faith also can't be strong when we refuse to embrace mystery. When our answers have to be packaged in neat little boxes, when we oversimplify complex issues, when we avoid relationships that God intends to use for our good and His glory, and when we seek our answers from within ourselves. What was it that transformed Mary's fear and shame into faith and song? What encouraged Joseph to swallow his pride, to let go of his dreams, and to risk his reputation to love a lady who was carrying someone else's baby? This poor young couple was inspired to travel the path of most resistance and embrace their place in God's plan by relationships that urged them to consider ancient truths that originated outside of themselves. Here's another key takeaway I want to share with you this morning. Hospitality, and again, we're defining that as the generous treatment of other people. Hospitality is baked into the story of Christ's birth. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, for an example, it says, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. While traveling to pay their taxes, these vulnerable, soon-to-be parents desperately needed strangers to befriend them. The city was packed with visitors, and let's face it, few were sympathetic to their situation. Is it not stunning to you that God chose to enter and redeem the world through such dire circumstances? Is that not stunning? I mean, we usually will sideline ourselves or we'll sideline other people for them by thinking that a holy God would never come near our kind of issues. That God's too holy to come near sinners. I mean, there's a whole false doctrine made up of that, which, by the way, I put some interesting notes in there for you to check out. But raise your hand this morning if you've convinced yourself that God couldn't work in you or work through you because of your past experiences. Anybody feel that this morning or been there? God can't use me because of my past experiences? Or maybe you've felt God couldn't work in you or work through you because of things like recurring failures. Anybody? Your situation's not ideal. Anybody relate? It's really odd to me that we as Christians believe such lies when God has stuffed scriptures full of stories, where He performed miracles for broken people in terrible circumstances. Do you realize how many stories in the Bible there are like that? And furthermore, the way that Jesus chose to be born begs us to embrace our own vulnerability and dependence. Biblical hospitality requires a vulnerability that few of us seem willing to give or receive. It begins with an open heart. It's a heart unlocked by a gospel story where everyone involved, including God, became needy. Now listen to this comment from Christine Pohl in her book on hospitality. This was really, really neat to read. It says, deep sensitivity to the suffering of those in need comes from our ability to put ourselves in their position and from remembering our own experiences of vulnerability and dependence. Deep sensitivity to the suffering of those in need comes from our ability to put ourselves in their position and from remembering our own experiences of vulnerability and dependence. Folks, that's what God did. Hebrews 4 tells us that he passed through the heavens to sympathize with our weakness. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says that God comforts us in all of our affliction to enable us to comfort others in any affliction with the comfort that we've received from him. So if we're never needy and we're never vulnerable and we're never dependent, then how are we to claim to be like God? How are we to understand one another? The story of Christ's birth puts hospitality at the very center of our faith. Each year, as the people of God retell and celebrate the story of Christmas, we remind ourselves and the world of God's most important provision, his presence. Of course, remembering God's provision changes everything. Not only does it prove that God will never forsake us, but it also inspires us to move forward and towards other broken people and to share the good news that God hasn't given up on them either. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled by the Christmas story. We thank you that Jesus left the riches of heaven and gift-wrapped himself in the skin of a needy baby. His name, Emmanuel, assures us that our God is with us and that he is near the brokenhearted and that he saves the crushed in spirit. His life and his teachings offer hope to people with messed up lives. Not only are you willing to redeem us, O God, but you, as you turn us into the people who treat others generously, you draw others to yourself. Like Mary and Joseph, may we not let the sorrows of this world cause us to forget your wonderful and ancient promises so that we can move forward in faith and that we can share your good news with anyone who is willing to listen. We pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.